Thanks for joining us for today's Word of Hope from First Christian Church in Burlington, Iowa. In this broadcast, you will hear songs and hymns of praise, the pastoral prayer for the day from our associate pastor, Brooke Anthony, and a message from me, senior pastor Dave Yonker, that I hope will fill your spirit and give you hope. You are always welcome to join us for worship in our sanctuary on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10 a.m., here at 1221 Park Avenue in Burlington. For more information, check us out at burlingtondoc.org. You are invited to grow in faith and share God's love through First Christian Church in Burlington. We welcome you to First Christian Church. We're so glad that you've chosen to worship here with us today. I'm Dave Yonker. I'm a senior pastor here. I'm so glad that y'all are in church today. Welcome our friends who are also joining us on Facebook Live and through our church website. We're glad on this Father's Day weekend you are joining us virtually from wherever you find yourself here today. As we're gathered for worship, you're invited to take out your worship bulletin that you received on the way in from the main doors this morning. On the right-hand side, you can find our tear-off sheet that says Connect at the very top. So we invite you to tear it off now and fill it out and let us know that you were here with us in church today. On the back side, you can also check one of those boxes if you'd like to know more information about growing in your life and faith here through our congregation. You can jot down prayer concerns, things that you're praying for, and things that you're also giving thanks to God for, praises in your life. And after you fill it out, you can drop it in the offering baskets that our ushers will pass later on in our worship service today. For our friends who are joining us online, if you go to our church website, burlingtondoc.org, you can download a copy of today's worship bulletin. We would love it if you would do so, and you can follow along with us from wherever you are today. Here today, we're certainly giving thanks on Father's Day for fathers and grandfathers and uncles and brothers and friends. We give thanks to God for all those men in our life, for their life and for their love. And so in appreciation for that, after church today, we have a little chocolate gift for all the guys who are here in church today. You'll also find a little photo booth outside the sanctuary doors on the right-hand side as you leave. And so we hope that if you would stop by and take a picture with your family and friends after being in church here this morning. On the back side of your bulletin, you see things that are going on in the life of our congregation. And as you're going there, we had a great week of vacation Bible school this past week. We had a wonderful time. We had over 50 kids registered. We had lots of volunteers, and we had a wonderful time all week long. And so we're so grateful for all those who helped out and all those who brought their kids and grandkids to vacation Bible school. We're looking forward to our annual church picnic on Sunday, July the 7th. On that day, we're going to have one service at 10:30 in the morning outside. And then after we have an outside worship service, we'll have a little potluck picnic afterwards. And so we hope that you'll mark it on your calendars to be here on the first Sunday in July. If you'd like to bring a dish to share, there's a sign-up sheet on the left-hand side as you leave the sanctuary. So we hope you'll stop by there after church today and sign up to bring something for our all-church picnic on July the 7th. I told the first service folks this morning that there is just one service at 10:30 on that day. So if you come to the early service that week, you're stuck having coffee with me on that morning at 8:30. And so make sure you come just for the one service at 10:30 on July the 7th. We started a brand new Sunday school class here today that Pastor Brooke and I are taking turns leading, taking a deep dive into the scriptures that I preach from every single Sunday morning. It's at 9:30 in room 7, and so if you're looking for a way to deepen your own life of faith here throughout the summer, we hope that you will come to Sunday school next Sunday morning at 9:30 in room 7. We're studying the scriptures that I talked about this morning, and so we had a great first session here today.
As we marvel in your presence to the ends of the earth, we give you glory, lifting up our hands and singing holy. You alone are worthy, worthy. Touch your heart, Lord, touch your heart.
Thank you.
above every other name. Jesus, the only one that could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you.
Will you please pray with me? Dear Lord, we gather here today under your care and protection. Thank you for your loving kindness that never fails us. We thank you for those fathers and father figures in our lives. We are thankful for all of their support and care every day. Open our hearts today so your words may be a guiding light to not only us, but others that we pass throughout the week. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first reading this morning comes from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 6 through 10 and 14 through 17. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. May God bless this reading of God's holy word. I'd like to invite our children to come forward for a children's message with Pastor Annika.
God gave his son. Yes, he gave his only son. Jesus is my Savior, Redeemer, and friend. He takes my sins away. My saving grace. Gonna praise his name all over the place. Sing it. He will rock you.
How are we all doing?
Boy, am I enthusiastic.
Really? That didn't sound very convincing. Maybe we were up a little too late last night, huh? Maybe? Yeah? Should we try that again? Let's try that again. Good morning. How are you all doing? Yes, wonderful. Now we're awake. Thank you. Now that I've got your attention, this past week at VBS, we talked about how superheroes were called on by God. And they were called on to help follow Jesus, help others, show, do you remember? Grace? Yeah. And to listen to God. There are several examples of who are called to listen to God that we read about in the Bible. But one story that comes to mind is the story of Samuel. And we find it in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Samuel's mother, Hannah, wanted a son more than anything. She prayed and asked God to give her one. Hannah promised God that if he would give her a son, she would give him back to the Lord to serve him all of the days of his life. God gave Hannah the son that she asked for, and she too kept her promise to God. When the boy was old enough, she took him to the temple and presented him to the priest named Eli. One night, Samuel was sleeping when he heard someone calling his name. He got up and ran to Eli. "Here I am. You called me," he said. "I didn't call you," Eli answered. "Go back to bed." So Samuel went back to bed. Again, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel jumped up out of bed and ran to Eli. "Here I am. You called me." Again, Eli answered for the second time, "I did not call you. Go back to bed." A third time, God called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am. You've called me again," he said. Finally, Eli realized it was God who was calling Samuel. So he told Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Samuel went back to bed, and sure enough, again, he heard the voice of God calling, "Samuel, Samuel." This time, Samuel answered as Eli told him, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Some people think that God only calls on grown-ups, but Samuel was just a young boy when God called on him. God knows each and every one of our names and is ready to call on us at any time. So when he does, answer him and come and follow him. You too can be a superhero while you wait for God's call. But when he calls, make sure you answer just like Samuel did. Is that something you think you can do? I think so too. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, thank you for being willing to call on us. We will be listening to you so that we can be ready for your call. Help us while we wait to be nice to others, to show grace towards others, and to work together well with others. We want to do what is best. Guide us and protect us in this week ahead. In your name we pray. Amen.
God gave his son, yes, he gave his only son. Jesus is my Savior, Redeemer, and friend. He takes my sins away, my saving grace. Gonna praise his name all over the place. And he will rock you.
Good morning. A few weeks ago, I was in Chicago and driving in downtown traffic, and I wasn't the favored visitor. I was honked at, I was yelled at, I received several unkind hand gestures, and I was taken aback, and I thought, well, what would prompt a complete stranger to show that kind of anger towards somebody else? And I was just befuddled by that. And so I thought about it, and in my mind, I thought, well, because I was not living up to their expectations, what they expected. They expected that I knew where I was going and that I was going to be in the right lane at the right time and that I was traveling at the proper speed. Well, this got me thinking about expectations I have in my life and how I react when they aren't met. And I thought, well, I expect when I turn a faucet that good drinking water will come out of it. I expect when I flip a light switch that lights will come on. I expect when I go get in my car and push the button that it's going to start. And I expect when I go to the grocery store that the automatic doors will open. And I expect the grocery store to have the food that I want to buy. And when some of those things don't happen, yeah, I get a little irritated and befuddled. And but then I got to thinking that there are people in this world that live in other third world countries that my expectations are absolutely foreign to them. They have no concept of turning a faucet and clean water comes out, or flipping a switch and the lights come on, or going to a grocery store and having more food than you can even imagine that there is. And I thought, you know, we often just think about the stuff that we just expect, and we think it's due to us. But the reality is, these are gifts that we have, gifts that God has provided for us. And I hope that while you're giving your offering today, that you think about not just those small things that we take for granted, and not just the big things, but all things that God gives to us. We'll collect our offering now.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Oh, something compares to the promise I have in you.
Today, as we gather into a time of prayer, we want to keep in our prayers the family of Tom Elmore, as Tom passed away this past week and we held our services here on Friday. We give thanks for his life and for his love of this place, as we know that he is surely missed. And so we keep his family in our prayers today and always. Let us pray. Thank you, O God, for the gifts that we have received today. Bless these tithes and offerings. May they further your love and work in the world. God of love and provision, we give you thanks for your holy presence this day. It is a gift indeed to be in worship with your children, to come into your presence, and to experience your grace again and again. We are humbled when we feel that we are not good enough to be here, not righteous enough to serve you, not whole enough to be a witness to your love. But you remind us through Scripture again and again that your grace extends to all people. Your grace is for the sinners. Your grace is for us. Your grace is for the broken souls. It is for us. Your grace is for the hard-hearted and hopeless. It is for us. Thank you, dear God, that you love in a way that is wholly godly. We confess to you the ways that we fell short this week, the places we should have shown your love, the ways we should have extended grace, the people who deserved our forgiveness. We confess to you the ways that we wish we were better. We confess to you our pride, our self-centeredness, our lust, and our greed. Forgive us, O God. We give thanks for your holy scriptures and pray for open hearts to hear the words from 1 Samuel. Help us to see that your ways are above our ways. You do not see as we see. We thank you that you see potential in unexpected places, and that includes today in our world. Help us to be open-minded to your ways and your choices, even when they defy convention. We give thanks for Samuel's listening to your leadership and following of your ways. Oh God, on this Father's Day, we give thanks for those men in our lives who lead, who teach, who love, and guide. You are our heavenly parent, and we give thanks for those earthly parents, fathers and grandfathers, uncles and friends, all who fill that role. Oh God, we give thanks for them. Holy God of comfort and healing, we bring with us this day many joys, many thanksgivings, and many hardships. We lift up to you our prayer concerns and all who are on our prayer list. We pray for healing for those in our community who are recovering from surgeries or illnesses. We pray for all who are in the hospital, rehab, or nursing homes. Comfort them and assure them of your presence. We lift up all who mourn the loss of their loved ones. We pray especially today for our good friend Tom. We give thanks for his amazing life lived and for the many ways that he served and loved his family, his neighbors, and his community. Comfort Tom's family, and may they feel your strength and loving peace throughout this time. We pray humbly in the name of your Son, who we worship today. We give thanks for all that he is in our lives, our shepherd, our grace giver, our healer. We lift up our voices to pray together the prayer that he taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our second reading today comes from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, Samuel, Samuel. And he said, Here I am, and ran to Eli and said, Here I am, for you have called me. But Eli said, I did not call. Lie down again. So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But Eli said, I did not call, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you have called me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there calling as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant is listening. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God indeed.
We're starting a new sermon series here today called Big Stories. We just finished up Vacation Bible School on Friday night. We had a great time with the kids from our church and First United Methodist Church, and it was a great week of games and crafts and singing songs and dancing and learning a different Bible lesson every single night. And so being at Vacation Bible School every single night got me thinking about some VBS lessons of my past. I remember going to Vacation Bible School when I was a kid and learning the songs and driving my parents nuts, singing those songs every single day the rest of the week and the rest of the month. I remember dancing in the church. I remember running up down the hallways of our church there and having the old folks stop me in the hallways and tell me to stop running at church. Even though my dad was the pastor, I thought I could do whatever I wanted in our church there. They told me to stop often. It was a great days. Those were great days whenever we were young, or maybe even not so young in life, learning those lessons of faith for the very first time. And in those lessons of faith, whenever we learn them, we almost always start with the tried and true old school stories of our faith, almost like going back to the beginning. Like, remember back in the day, we used to give our kids' Bibles. And in those kids' Bibles, there was not every single chapter and verse, not every single story, not every single part of the whole entire Bible, but it was almost like just the highlights of the Bible. Stories that we teach our kids at VBS and maybe even at Sunday school. Stories of creation and stories of Noah's Ark, like with the animals coming on the arky-arky two by two. And back in the day, we learned about Daniel and the lion's den and David and Goliath. And there were stories about Jesus walking on the water and Jesus healing all kinds of people. And in the early days of our life and faith, it's almost like we get the Bible's greatest hits at the very beginning. And so being at Vacation Bible School and thinking about how this is summer for us here in the church, I thought that we might revisit some of those old school, old time stories in our congregation. It's probably been a while since some of us have read these stories. And in fact, it may be the first time that we've actually stopped to read and think more deeply about some of these stories. And so we're going to be in this sermon series from now all the way to the first Sunday in August. It's going to be a great time together, and so we hope that you will come, and come now, and come again, and come the week after that, thinking again about these great stories of our faith. And so we start today in the book of 1 Samuel, and with this we get Samuel's call by the Lord. Now, if you were in church here a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Isaiah's call to go and teach and preach and prophesy. And if you were here, then you know the story because I know you remember every single sermon I've ever preached in my whole entire life of like 12 years here in this pulpit. And so I know you remember that time when we heard Isaiah's call. And there was these winged beasts, like six-winged beasts flying overhead. They were shaking the temple. They filled the whole entire room with smoke. And it was like a bad dream for Isaiah, like some kind of vision from God. It was loud and it was massive. And he could totally tell that it was God there in his midst. And so in comparison to Isaiah's call and his experience of God moving in his life, Samuel's is different. In fact, his experience of God is the complete opposite. I mean, we heard the reading just a moment ago. The scripture says the word of God was rare in those days, and people had not been seeing visions from the Lord. And so one night in the temple, the Lord came to Samuel. The story says everybody had gone down in the temple for the night. And so whenever I hear this passage, I can almost hear what it would have sounded like that evening in the temple. It's like on those nights in our house when the whole entire house is quiet and you can hear every creak, and he has no idea what to make of it. And so he runs to that old priest Eli thinking that maybe Eli has called him, but he has not, and says, go back to bed. And so it's almost like Field of Dreams there with Kevin Costner out in the cornfield. If you build it, he will come. The voice keeps on calling him, Samuel, Samuel. And finally he says, listen, I'm here. Speak, for your servant is listening. You have my attention. I'm ready and willing. And out of the stillness and out of the quiet, the Lord calls him. It's one of the foundational stories of our life of faith. I mean, maybe you've heard it before. And I love this passage. But even though I love it, even though you may have heard it before, it is difficult to hear what Samuel is saying because the world in which we live is so loud. In fact, I was reading something not that long ago that was talking about this guy by the name of Bernie Krause, and he records nature sounds for film and for television, and he was saying that way back in the year 1968, in order to get 1 hour, 60 minutes of natural sound with no airplanes or cars, it would take him just 15 hours of recording outside, like less than a day of recording. But today, in order to get that same 1 hour of undisturbed sound, it takes him more than 2 hours of recording because our world is so busy and so noisy these days. There's always a ding in our pocket, always a buzz, always a television on in the background giving white noise for us. And whenever we are alone, we always pull our phone out of our pocket and we begin scrolling mindlessly and get sucked into the vacuum of social media and the news. And sometimes whenever our screen time pops up, we are afraid to look at it to know how long we've been on our phone every single week. Our world is loud and it's noisy, and when there is silence, it makes us shift in our seats and makes us uncomfortable. There's not much time when we sit and wait for the Lord to speak to us like the Lord did to Samuel. Because if it's not the noise outside of us, it's the noise inside of our head. And we pray and we pray for God to answer us and come to us, but sometimes we don't quiet ourselves enough to actually listen. One of my favorite preachers that I love to read and listen to is Barbara Brown Taylor. And she said that in her church, whenever she was the pastor there, people would come to her and they would say, "I can't get God to talk back to me as I'm talking to God." They had sincere prayers and they needed answers for guidance and for help. And they were thinking they were doing something wrong. And so they came to her as a pastor. Maybe she had some kind of in with God to help them. I mean, we lean on that passage in the New Testament that says, "Seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be answered." We knock and we knock and we pound and we wait, and it seems like sometimes God isn't answering. I mean, it happens to all of us. I mean, I love the faith, I love the assurance of the scriptures, because I believe that God hears us and God answers us. And God is good, and God is active in our life, and God doesn't play games with us. And we believe that nothing can separate us from God's love in Jesus Christ. We believe that and know that, but still listening for God and hearing God speak is difficult. It happens to all of us, and I haven't figured it all out yet. And so let me tell you what I'm working on. One of my favorite verses here recently is 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11. It says, "Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life." Make it your ambition to lead a quiet kind of life. I've been working on this scripture, and it's been kind of rubbing at me here recently. In fact, I wrote it on a post-it note, and I stuck it under my writing pad on my desk in my office, and I see it. It stares at me every single day. In our world that says that we should be somebody, that we should be powerful and we should be relevant, that like second place is like the first loser, that we should always stand out inside of a crowd, this verse is here calling us to live a different kind of life. Because I wonder if maybe we could hear God more if we notice God in the small things of life. Maybe seeing the presence of God in the crowd around us. Maybe inviting a coworker to lunch. Maybe it's the small things like doing the dishes and taking the trash out at home, helping your kids with their homework, donating clothes to a thrift shop, visiting somebody who's sick in the hospital, or just calling somebody on the phone. Instead of making it our ambition to put on a show that will end up on the news, we're called to live a quiet, simple life, where the rest of the pressures and the din and the noise of the world get turned down, and suddenly the voice of God appears more readily. To me, this is it for all of us to work on. Sometimes, like Isaiah, God shows up in those six-winged beasts that'll scare the pants off of us like it did for Isaiah a few weeks ago. But more often than not, God shows up in the quiet, in the still, small voice, in the small acts of grace and kindness that we get to do. Even then, God is there, if we'll only listen. Let us pray. O loving, gracious God, we're so grateful for all the ways in which you still speak to us here today. We confess, O God, that we have a hard time hearing your voice. We're not always sure that you are there, and we cannot always feel your presence filling us and blessing us. And so we pray to you, O God, that you can help us put aside all the pressures of our life, help us to turn down the noise so that we can hear you and we can feel your presence. We know that you are always there, speaking through those that we share a life with, speaking to us in the quiet moments of life. We know that you are speaking to us in every moment and every day. And so we pray, O God, that we might tune our ear to your voice once again. We offer our life to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.